Greetings and welcome to whitehorse-radio.com. Let's have a little fun here and take a look at an end-time event that's going on right before your very eyes. God is on his way back. His son, Jesus Christ, is going to re-enter our world. He's going to take his church away and leave the wicked to their own devices. Haman has built his own gallows, and we're going to take a look at the fighting cats and dogs. I'm putting my money on the... I'm not a gambling man, I'm not a betting man, but I know whose side I want to be on. I know the winning side. And so I'm putting my faith and trust and hope on the Lion of the Tribe of Judah. Stay tuned, and you will too.
When choosing a leader for his people, God has always used supernatural means. Daniel read the handwriting on the wall and was made third highest in the kingdom of Babylon. With over 200 circles pointing to Bible passages done in the backyard of the Vatican, with not one answer from them, God has made his choice clear. If it will make the Vatican and its followers feel at ease, on the same day both his Honda car and international truck billowed streams of white smoke. Here's your host, Brother Abel. What's that saying again about payback?
People deny that there's a war going on around us. There are people out there in the world who don't believe that there's a spiritual climate, that there is demons and angels in battle. But it's true. It is so very true. I've met the angels, and I've met my Lord and my Savior, and these crop circles that are being made out in England. Well, God is in so much love of his creation, he's actually put Bible passages in picture form so that the youth of our day, the people today who have no hope and no faith, could look at these along with the passages they point to and give them some hope. Looking at this topic that I want to do, fighting cats and dogs, we know that Jesus is the Lion of the Tribe of Judah. And I start my copy out here, the post, by saying, I am placing my eternity on the cat, the Lion of the Tribe of Judah. As for the dog, they always seem to return to their own vomit and go through the trash, leaving surprising little messes one has to clean up. Rome seeks to remove the term Son of God and Israel from the Bible in order to appease the Muslim people. I think if Rome told us all the truth, it would all do us a world of good. However, no one would go to mess anymore. Read it for yourself. Chick. I know you're saying I misspelled mass. No, I did not. I did not spell the mass. I spelled it as God sees it. You know, I call it as I see it, people. I see it and I call it for what it is. Darkness is darkness, and light shines so that people can be set free from the darkness. A picture is worth a thousand words. God has written millions of words all over Europe. We have these two sides of the coin, and we have the Protestant side and we have the Roman Catholic side. One side does not interfere with the work of God, but allows God to do his work, and we have many churches that have branched out, who've gone and led people to Jesus Christ, born-again Christian churches, people who love Jesus Christ and preached the word and did exactly as God asked for. He asked that we read the word, study to show ourselves approved, plant the word in our heart that we may not sin against him. On the other side, we have a group that claims that they are the true church, and there's no other church outside of themselves. Maybe they should have read Revelation. God addresses seven churches and he has seven candlesticks and refers to them as the seven churches. Oh, not one, any one church is the true church. And Rome has gone and taken every nation and country and has put their little shadow puppet governments in there and got everything done. And that's why when you look at America and America's destroyed and you find that there are 40% of the 40% of our government structure here in America is now Roman Catholic. Is the world any better off because of them? See, where idols go, so do demons. See, I'm the little boy who comes up and tells you all the emperor's wearing new clothes. You know the old story about the emperor's new clothes? And I've copied it out here. I've put a copy of it here at the end so you can read the story for yourself. In fact, where it says emperor, you can substitute the word dragon, Lucifer, whatever you like there. Because, well, this is a story about him, I guess, basically. But the fact is that they spun this invisible cloth. And if you thought, you know, if you were, you know, not super religious, you couldn't see it. You know, you had to be religious in order for you to see the cloth. If you were pagan, if you were a heretic, you couldn't see the cloth. You see? And so this is the story. This is what's happened here in our world. You know, I'm the little boy. I'm exposing the enemy so that we can set the world free in these last days. Making the cloth there in the, you know, it was invisible. See, it was spun invisible. And if you believe, if you didn't believe it was, you know, if you didn't have righteousness in you, right, you couldn't see the material. So you had to learn to be righteous by their standards so that you could see the material is pure and holy. But the material's invisible. Remember the story? Right? The spinners come, they make the cloth, they try to convince the king that the material is made in such a way that only the pure of heart, only the pure of heart can see the material. Whereas those who aren't pure of heart could not see it. Well, tell you what, I guess I'm not pure of heart because I can't see it. They're naked before God. They lay before God naked. He's made America the most powerful nation on the earth because he knows that at the end of the age, the enemy is going to want this kind of massive destructive power. He wants to take millions of souls to hell before they find Christ. So what does he do? He comes for this weapon of mass destruction, comes for the greatest power on earth, America. He likes positions of power. He was Pharaoh, he was Caesar, he's Pontiff, and now he wants to be President of the United States. And it only cost him $700 billion to buy the White House. They bought it for him.
We want to offer you this special exclusive edition of Riverdance, the CIA edition. It has been recorded at 3 times its normal speed, giving the appearance their feet never touch the floor. Steps the Central Intelligence Agency will need to know in eternity. This exclusive offer is only available at whitehorse-radio.com.
Asbestos clothing sold separately.
And God, you know, there are people out there who say, well, this isn't the Antichrist. Obama's not the Antichrist. I'm kind of frightened that you'd know that. I'm frightened that anybody would know that. You know, that he's not the Antichrist. I mean, here he is a false messiah to 1.4 billion Muslims because he's supposedly, you know, part of the Muslim Brotherhood. He's a member of the Brotherhood. And he's in there, and who put him in there? Whose money backed that? The banking money, the banking system. You follow the money. Who's got most of the money of the world? And who's running the show? Who's pulling the strings? Who's the puppet masters who've always been puppet masters? They train you like your dogs themselves. You know, the dogs train the dogs. And treat you that way. But God doesn't treat you as a dog. God treats you as a precious individual human being. He doesn't put heavy burdens and make you jump through hoops. He simply comes and offers himself to you. Do you receive me? Do you wish to follow me? For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Lay down your heavy loads. Come after me, he says. He sets you free. All your guilt and all your shame, all's cleansed in the blood of Christ at the foot of the cross. They have a cross that they put, and they put an effigy of a man. They add insult to injury. They lift him up in a staff, and well, not all the world has come to Jesus, because that isn't the way Jesus desires to be lifted up. When Jesus said, before Abraham was, I am, he's pointing to Abraham's descendants. He's pointing to Abraham. He existed before Abraham. He could have said, before Noah, I am. Before Adam, I am. He could have said all that, but he chose Abraham because Abraham is specific to the whole faith of the church. For without Father Abraham, there is no Israel. There is no Bible. There is no Christ to come through. God chooses Abraham and his descendants because it's a love story. God seeks to have a woman and have a relationship in order to bring his son into the world. Israel is that woman. That's his queen. That's his queen, is God's queen, is Israel. And he has relationship with them to bring his son into the earth. He chooses them. But he also tells Abraham, know for surety that your descendants will be as slaves or in bondage in a strange land. Moses wrote that, by the way. Moses came out of Egypt, obviously. Moses didn't know what God was talking about when he wrote Genesis 15. 13, 14. But we see that we look back in Egypt. God is pointing to Egypt. There's something there in Egypt. And at the end of the age, he brings us all the way to America to show us what it is. And Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. You know something? I believe him. I believe Jesus. I believe it when God says, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. I believe it. I believe it when I got married and I was getting married to this Christian girl at a Baptist church and my Catholic aunt, a nun, refused to come to my wedding because I was a traitor. I was leaving the true church and I was going to the evil side. I was going to the dark side. Well, she didn't realize she was on the dark side. I found light and I was getting married to a Protestant girl. And people told me that getting married to this girl was a problem because, well, she grew up in a divorced home. She grew up, her father and mother had split when she was at a young age. And they told me, chances are you'll probably get divorced yourself. And I basically stood up and says, well, you just don't know my Jesus. My Jesus can do anything. When Jesus came to me and gave me these crop circles to do people, do you know what he said to me? When he came up to me after I seen the truth laying out there in Egypt, he said, not only did he say, tag, you're it, and he was laughing hysterically. Because he says, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. He's laughing hysterically because he knows that he's going to lift me up, and I'm going to point to that which has made it happen for me, which is the lion of the tribe of Judah. The very insult that's laying out there. Abraham sought a city whose builder and maker is God. I found what he was looking for. I found the insult. The enemy said he would make the Son of God his pet. And that's where we get the Lion of the Tribe of Judah from. Well, let me tell you something about cats. I like cats. I like cats because they're clean. Right? They're clean and they're independent. They're aloof. They don't sit. They don't roll over. They don't stay. They don't wag their tails when you come home. They're in complete control all the time. I love cats. Because it reminds me of the God in whom I serve. He's always in control. He's not worried about a thing that's going on. And he likes to play with the yarn. He likes to play. He's got a sense of humor. He's glorious. He's good. He's great. And when we start looking at his sense of humor here, we'll begin to see that we've been made a mockery of by the enemy. And we need to start laughing at him and sending him on his way. And we need to start rejoicing because Jesus is on his way. But the enemy's going to get his 7 years to sit in the temple. But in order to get his 7 years to sit in the temple, what does he have to do? He has to bring peace into the world. He needs a peace plan. His church has gone as far as they can in building their one world order. And who's his hands and fingers? Who did God bring all the way over here to take the power that's America, the most powerful nation on earth? He used the Catholics. And the Catholics went in, and because they're so afraid of the beast, the woman who rides the beast, they went and put some sort of false messiah. And this is the transgressors have come to full. Now they want to take Jesus Christ out of the Bible. They want to take the Son of God out of the Bible. They want to take Israel out of the Bible. Now it's no longer God's word. It's a lie. But they don't care. They've always never liked the Bible. They've always had to destroy the Bible because it doesn't support their paganism. It doesn't support their idolatry. It doesn't support what their man-made doctrines have taught you. Now, there's another 1.2 billion people who think they're going to heaven. Now, you see what's going on in the world today. You see that the Muslims are persecuting the Christians, and most of them are Catholic. Don't be deceived. The enemy's only going after the souls that belong to him, that are not born again, that have not given up their lives to Christ. He's killing real Christians, but don't worry about them. They're going home to glory. They're going home to where there's joy and happiness. The people who are killing them are not going into heaven at the moment. But they're also going after Catholics. It's a deception. The enemy wants you to think they're being persecuted for their faith in Christ. It's not. God is raising up a standard against those who use his son's name in vain. He's done it throughout history. Every time God's Jews went out after paganism, every time God's Jews went after the wrong thing, what happened? God rose up a nation against them and put them into bondage. Well, Rome has been the one who's gone and tried to get everybody into bondage and into paganism, and God is raising up a standard to come up against Rome for using his son's name in vain and for mocking the word of God and destroying the word of God. We made America a Protestant nation. Yes, we fought with England. Yes, we were at war with England, but there was also a third entity. So what happened is our founding fathers decided that the enemy of our enemy is our friend. And so we branched off and we decided to take and not put a king in America. We tried to make it so that it was we the people ruled, because that is what God wanted here. This is a picture of God's heaven, was America. We put the Son of God where he needed to be. We lifted him up out of the dirt. We put him over. It was Jesus Christ in America. And it was we the people. And God just let us do our thing. And there was morality and holiness and pure. There were you didn't have to go out and lock the car doors. You didn't have to lock your homes. You could let your children play in the street and it was fine. But as soon as they started putting their hives in and building their castles and putting their kings in position, and putting their government officials where they wanted them, as they have always done, even before Jesus got here, they've always tried to control it. Now they want to do it in this sign will conquer, which is a statement back to what the enemy said he would do with the Son of God at the beginning of time. I'll take him and make him my pet. Wolves in sheep's clothing. Dogs. They go after the road. They're trash. You know, dogs are nice, but they're also, you're not very bright. I kind of just seen a thing on Facebook the other day. A friend had posted up some animals that were taken to the vet. And you could see, how do they know? How do they? They seem to be very intelligent. They know that they're going to the vet. They're going to the doctors, right? You know, most dogs like to go for rides in cars and go places. But if you say the word vet, that right away, it's like they're like kids. They know they're going to the doctor. It's amazing. Animals can be smarter than people. The pigs, the legion of demons that went into the pigs and drowned themselves, the pigs ended up being smarter than that one man. That one man had a legion of demons in it, but those pigs didn't want one. They know about the spiritual war. Today, demons hate pork. You ever notice that? They hate pork. Demons hate pork. It's so parasitic. But they themselves are parasites. They themselves are parasites. Things that God was offended for in the Old Testament, but they're actually these spiritual entities, these demonic entities who are just trying to mislead us and misdirect us. They're guiding us. You're guided either by the forces of light or the forces of darkness. If you do not hide the word of God within your heart, how do you know you're not being deceived? How do you know that you're not being misled by the forces of darkness if the word of God isn't in your heart? But the enemy's church went and what? Kept that word away from you. Told you that you couldn't read that word. That it had, only by the express permission of a bishop could read that to you. Well, here, they've gone and done their work. And they've taken the word of God away. And they've let demons flourish everywhere. And now the world is in chaos. And they don't know what to do. They've made their mess. They pooped all over the place. Now it's time for us Protestants to come in and clean it up. Because resurrection is coming. And God has given us charge. We have to go with the pooper scoopers and we got to clean this mess up. the church is the body of Christ. The body of Christ is seven churches. Well, there are more churches than that. We know that. There are many denominational churches. But I know who you are. I've been listening to teachings and preachings and teachers. I've got all the ministers who I really adore. I love men of God. I love men who preach the Word of God, and I love people who learn of the Word of God and who are excited about the Word of God. I'm excited about the Word of God. I'm excited about this time. We're living in the greatest time ever. But you see, the enemy, Rome, has lied about the Antichrist. They said Martin Luther was the Antichrist. They said this was the Antichrist, that was the Antichrist. What is the Antichrist? The Antichrist is a tool used by God to drive people to the foot of the cross. The Spirit, see, he was supposed to be a protector in heaven, to protect the throne room of God, to keep the wicked from overthrowing God's throne. But he turned and decided to not protect it, but go against it. He was the first covering. He was the first protection. He was the first enforcer, you could say. And he turned on his creator. And he started leading the rebellion. That's what he did. He led the rebellion. But what he was actually doing without his awareness, or maybe he did know. I don't know. I think God wasn't surprised. You know, God wasn't surprised. They wanted something to see. God gave them something they could see. They wanted to see the sun. He gave them this beautiful, precious, jeweled, all these diamonds, all these jewels all over him, and sent them into the congregation and gave them the lamps. He was the light bearer. It's that to bring the worship back to the sun. And after the rebellion, God took away the light and took away the stone. So he's not very smart. So he's got to dumb down the populace. He has to dumb down the American people. He has to dumb down the world in order for him to be powerful. And Rome has gone and done it. They've destroyed our school systems. They came in here with their money. You know, they encouraged the philosophies, Darwinism. They encouraged these things because divide and conquer. That's how you win a war. You divide and conquer. And they began to divide us, and they began to conquer us because darkness unites. That's why Jesus spoke in parables. He spoke in parables knowing that darkness would unite. So those who don't understand the Bible don't want to read the Bible or preach the Bible. They just want to go and pretend that they know what's going on. See, they probably tune into some Protestant channels and stuff like that and learn a few things. You know, and go out and spew it. You know, anybody can parrot the Word of God. Anybody can parrot the Word of God. But can you live the Word of God? Can you preach the Word of God? Can you adore the Word of God? Do you protect the Word of God? Do you defend the honor of Jesus? Do you sit there and bring paganism in and idols and statues and tell yourself you're a Christian? You've only deceived yourself. God will not. Undo the law. The law is the law. Make no graven image in the heavens above or on the earth below. Nor shall you bow down yourself to them. The second commandment. God, Jesus said, he who breaks the least of the commandments and teaches others to do so shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. Well, we're talking 10, 9, 8, 7. Rome went after number 2. And like dogs, they leave it everywhere. Time to clean it up. It's time to clean up this mess. It's time to get right with God. It's time to say, don't stand with her on Judgment Day. Don't stand with her. Come out of her, my people, Jesus says. Come out of her, my people. Partake not of her sins. They've reached heaven. They have taken the greatest nation. They've taken the Son of God and thrown him in the dirt. America lifted him up out of the dirt. We turned the pyramid upside down and we put the Lion of the tribe of Judah where he needed to be. They took him and threw him in the dirt. It's from Ezekiel 3:20. Again, when a righteous man doth turn from his righteousness and commit iniquity, and I lay a stumbling block before him. This is God laying it. Man turned from his righteousness, and he shall die because thou hast not given him warning. He shall die in his sin, and his righteousness which he hath done shall not be remembered, but his blood will I require at thine hand. I gave my life to Christ. My sins are forgiven me, and those who are born again and filled with the Holy Spirit, your sins, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Our sins are forgiven us, past, present, and future. It's under the blood. It's remembered no more. But if people turn from the righteousness and commit iniquity and do the stumbling block and do not repent from that, then their righteousness is not righteousness anymore. It's iniquity. It's keeping people from, it's a stumbling block. And you're no longer doing the work of God, you're doing the work of the enemy. And if God, and if you side with God's enemy, then you're not on God's side. Makes sense to me. Hope it makes sense to you. If you don't side with God, then you're siding with God's enemy. Jesus is the only mediator between man and God. There is no other mediators between man and God, just one mediator. Jesus said in Matthew 23, call no man father, nor should you have any call any man rabbi, teacher, because you have one teacher, that's the Christ, call no man father. And so they do it because they don't want the, you know, because Jesus said not to do it, that's why they do it. And they want to take away that precious, intimate relationship that God wanted you to have with his, your Heavenly Father. And they also wanted to give you the impression that they cared about you because, well, they don't have children of their own. So if you really think that they really care about your children, you got another thing coming. They don't care about what happens as long as they are protected at the top of the hill. And when you're at the top of the hill, you need armies and weapons and power in order to keep from people from rising up above you and destroying you. That's called King of the, that's a game, King of the Hill. But see, God, God chooses his king. God comes in and says, well, this is the one I want. I want this one to lead my church before I arrive. Because why? Because we want to bring people to the foot of the cross. Do you know your Christ? Do you know your God? Do you know how much he loves you? Do you know how much he loves this world? The Catholic Church has said anyone who's come and come against them has called them Antichrist. But the picture speaks loads of volumes to you. This graphic image that I've done here, they fight like cats and dogs. And I have the Queen of England. We have a real queen. A real queen. Who represents the Protestant Church. She's not boisterous. She's not bold. She doesn't go out and tell you what to do. She allows the Spirit of God to work and do his work. She is a faithful woman of God. She believes in God and she lets God do her work. She's holding down the fort until God puts his man in position to bring in his harvest. And when his harvest is in and it's all said and done and that peace agreement is signed, well, what's left behind is, well, it's on them. That's why there's so many people who will not deny Jesus in the tribulation. They will be laying their heads down to be chopped off. And who likes a chopping heads off? And nobody likes fish heads. Nobody likes those fish head hats. God is not big on the religious system. He's not big on the Babylonian Empire. That fish head... Them mitre hats, they come direct out of Babylon. Them little boxes that people go and confess their sins in comes right out of Babylon. I know, my initials are B-A-B-E-L. Do you understand what age I'm at, what we're talking about here? See, the enemy needs another body, but hey, so did Abel. Fair is fair. God adopts. God adopts children. God has many sons. But the firstborn among the angels from the earth, his name was Abel. And he was the baby. And when I go back, just like the prisoner in Joseph's prisons, the two prisoners, one was the chief butler, the other one was the baker. Bakers are going to get their heads cut off. The chief butler is going to be reinstated back into his home. See, the cupbearer, the chief butler is the cupbearer. He carries the spirit. He carries the wine. Jacob had two sons, Benjamin and Joseph. Joseph being the one who represents Christ, but Benjamin represents duality. He represents the son of her sorrow because Rachel dies right after giving birth. Rachel represents the earth. Son of sorrow comes in. That's Jacob's son, Benoni, son of the sorrow. That's whom his mother gave him that name, but Jacob gave him the name Benjamin, son of my right arm. And it's not until Benjamin comes into Egypt that you all understand what's going on. So I have come to Egypt, and I see what's going on, and there this war that's going on, this battle. Remember what's said in Revelation. He that has understanding, here's wisdom. He that hath understanding, let him calculate the number of the beast. It is 666. Well, we know it's not 555. Which is the number that's followed me all through my life. Here's wisdom. He that hath understanding. Well, the Spirit of God, or the spirits, the seven spirits of God, one of them is understanding. One is knowledge. One is the Spirit of the Lord. One is the Spirit of fear of the Lord. And we find these in Isaiah 11:2, when it's talking about Jesus. And Jesus was not spared the Spirit. Remember, all the light of God was in Christ. God is the God of light. He's the Father of lights. You know, these crop circles are made by light. But this is the seven spirits. Well, let's look at the seven spirits of God. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. Now, out of those seven spirits, the seven attributes of God, which ones did Lucifer have and which ones did he not have? Which ones have God, has God given me to interpret these crop circles? Remember, it's his Spirit in me. He's given me his light, his lamp, right? We know that the light of Christ focuses in on Christ. Light shines on the Most High God. Light shines on the light and exposes darkness. God gave me his lamps to do what? To bring in his harvest. Abel was the first one replacing in heaven those who had fallen away. So what position do you think he would have vied for in heaven with God? His blood cried out from the ground. What do you think that he pleaded God to do in heaven? What do you think he asked God for? What position in heaven when he got there? God said, "Tag, I was it. I wept. I cried for months. I realized what he had given me, what he had done for me. I realized that I'm put back in this prison, but I'm going home to be with my Savior and my Lord. He's my Father. He's my God." And so, do you men of God who've gone and read about the Antichrist have understanding? Did God give you understanding? Did he give you the spirit of wisdom and understanding? See, I got proof that he speaks with me. I have this definite proof that he speaks with me. I've got this uncanny relationship with God. I mean, I can go through the Bible and I can show you my birthday in specific places that are significant to the end time revival, to the harvest of bringing in souls in these last days. He has called me forth. And why has he done so? Because he's in love with his creation. And he wants to let them know that judgment is going to come. And that he's going to punish those who have not accepted his son. So most of these camps that have been created by Rome have become their Haman's gallows. They're left behind. And Islam will rise up and take over the world when they realize that they were lied to, when the Christian church is taken out of the earth and the phonies, the liars, the deceivers, the homosexuals, the diseased is left behind to be purified. They'll have to make the decision during the tribulation. They'll decide whether they're going to take the mark and spend eternity forever in the fires of hell. And is God giving you a great opportunity right there to repent? Or receive Christ so that when Jesus Christ comes back or you are martyred, you will spend eternity with him in heaven. You don't know what eternity is. You're afraid of the unknown. Give Jesus 1,000 years. He's going to be here 1,000 years to set up his kingdom. Give him 1,000 years. If you don't like it, he's going to let his dragon, the one that's caused all the problems and all your suffering and all your pain that you're going to spend eternity with, he's going to let him back out of the pit. And then you can decide to go with him. But give Jesus a chance. Give God a chance. Go to church. Hear the word of God. Find a good preacher. Someone who doesn't go around destroying the works of God.
This is FightHorseRadio.com. The rider is here. The final battle is about to begin. You will need to pick a side.
It is the Lions versus the Blockheads.
You decide the team you want to side with. You decide the best action for you. Here's your host,
the head crusher for the Lions,
Brother Abel. He knows better than anyone, a head injury can mess you up.
And you have to pick a side. You got to pick the Lions of the tribe of Judah or the Blockheads, the dogs. You've got to make a choice. You've got to choose, because there's no in-between choices. There's no saying, oh, I'm going to be this, I'd rather go that way. No, God makes it very clear at the end of the age who you need to follow, who you need to go after. I'm going to point to Jesus. And I'm going to point to the churches that promote and lift up and exalt Jesus. And those ministers who stand in the way, just remember, you're going to get left behind in the tribulation. Because the bakers are a dime a dozen. You can find a baker. The reason why the baker, I believe, was killed in prison and was not reinstated back into the house of Pharaoh after 3 days, Joseph interprets the dream, tells the baker he's going to die. Well, the baker prepares the meal. Anybody can prepare the meal, but there's a lot of people who prepare the same meal. They cook up the same thing over and over again. It gets pretty boring after a while, Do something different. Do something righteous, man. There are people who go from church to church as ministers, and they carry around a little bag like a doctor. And inside the bag are their index cards of all the meals that they prepared at other places. And they feed them to you. They forgot their first love. They don't have relationship. That's why they miss these big things that I'm seeing in the Bible. That's why they missed the Lion of the Tribe of Judah laying out there. Yet there it is in Genesis 41:15. I'm sorry. That's 41:15 is the 7 years of plenty. And if you read that down to 53 and you count up all the sevens, there's 21 sevens, 777, 7 days a week. That's God's number. And then there's 7 years of famine. The enemy's going to get his 7 years of reigning as God. And what is he going to be doing in them 7 years? He's going to take those who rejected Christ and persecuted the Christians, and he's going to move them to the Nazi concentration camps, and either they're going to take the mark and spend eternity with him, or they're going to lose their heads. And now I'm betting more of them are going to lose their heads than take that mark. If we do the right thing here. If we do what God wants us to do. Because God is in love with his creation. He wants everyone at the foot of the cross. Even those who rebelled against him. Even those who turned on him. So when he takes the church out of the earth, it'll give all those a clue where they were going to spend eternity. It'll give them all a clue that they were on their way to hell. Now, I feel bad for the homosexual population. I know that you guys are going to have fights. You people are going to fight. You men and women are going to fight about, do you really love me? You won't let me take that mark. If you really love me, you won't let me take that mark. And some of them are just going to deny Jesus completely. You're going to have to make a decision. Does that person really love your soul? Does that person really love and care about you? Because that's what love does. Love cares about the eternal soul. Love cares about the person who's going to live for eternity. And we're all going to live for eternity. I lived with a woman who was raised in a Catholic orphanage from the time she was 4 to the time she was 16. 12 years. Never found any peace. Never found any joy. She began drinking at the age of 16. She was 32. She was just a mess. She was a mess. She kept on saying, I'm a Catholic. I'm going to die a Catholic. It was the demons of darkness. I mean, there was more demons in her than I grew up with him, so I know what I'm talking about here, people. I know what the enemy's like. He's relentless. There's never any forgiveness. There's never any mercy from him. That's why he'll never open up the Word of God the way God's doing it in England. That's why you know Satan isn't behind these crop circles. He would never open up the Word of God to set people free. He'd never give you any hope. But God chooses the man to do this in the last days. You see, we need a queen in England, people. And I was blessed. I married the right woman. I married a gorgeous woman. I married a woman who took my heart, took it away from me. I could never love another woman the way I loved her. And the way I love her today. Only she doesn't know it. God's going to fix me up because God understands love. God is the master of love. God is the master of hearts. He creates families. You see, the peace plan, brothers and sisters in Christ, the peace plan for the global, for the world, for the entire globe is romance. See, I gave you this little proverb or riddle. I gave you this riddle, right? Romance, the peace plan is hidden within their name, but because they do not know it, they'll never know the same. It's Romans, romance. God's about love and families and children, and I support that 100%. I want people to have children before the second coming. I want people to have tons of children before Jesus takes the church out of the earth, because the children are going to be taken up. The children are going to be taken up. The adults are going to be left behind. So we want to fill heaven with children if we can. So have children, because a lot of adults are going to get left behind. Some of them aren't going to make it into heaven. And heaven is big. There's plenty of room. Many mansions. Haven't you seen how many galaxies he's produced out there in the cosmos? There are many mansions in my Father's kingdom. If it were not so, I would not have told you. I go and prepare a place for you. How big is your mansion? How great is your kingdom? But let us never forget who the King of Kings truly is. Let us never forget who the Lord God of glory truly is. Let us never forget that the worship of his Son is important for us to have a utopian society. So I conclude this message, and I want you to take a look at what I've got here. I have Casting Crowns, and this is a great, it's called Thrive. Joy Unspeakable. Right? Grace Unimaginable. Our God is in love with his creation. And I would appreciate you ministers of God who are preaching against the Antichrist. Yes, he's coming, but not before God picks his team first. But let me explain this to you so you understand. The team captain for the Lions is his team captain to bring people to the foot of the cross in the last days. When the peace agreement is signed, that same team captain will become the captain of the blockheads. That's why Benjamin is Gemini. That's his star sign. He's duality, son of my sorrow, son Benoni, and Benjamin, son of my right hand. Let's lift Jesus up out of the dirt, brothers and sisters. Have a great day. Jesus is on his way.
You can't touch this. You can't touch this. You can't touch this. You can't touch this. Touch this. Yeah, that's how we living, and you know you can't touch this. Look in my eyes, man. You can't touch this. Yo, let me bust that song from lyrics. Can't touch this. Fresh new kicks and bands. You got it like that. Now you know you want to dance. So move out of your seat and get a fire going. Yo, sound the bell, school is in, sucker. You can't touch this. Give me a song, a rhythm, making them sweat. That's what I'm giving them now.